when I snap my fingers, you will wake up.
Here, what's going on? What am I doing? Oh, looks, I'm on stage.
Thank you. You've been most helpful. You may return to your seat.
What have you been doing?
Nothing untoward, I assure you.
And why's my mouth taste of onion?
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Audrey from Battersea. Now, I believe we have just enough time for one more trick. Yes, I can see the meticulous Mr. Jago checking his pocket watch in the wings. Would you like to see one more trick? Or is the siren call of the interval bar too great an allure to ignore? It involves playing cards and a volunteer from the audience. You, sir. Yes, you in the third row with the impressive moustache.
Does he mean me? Do you mean me, sir?
I do indeed. If you would be so good as to come to the stage.
Oh. Never been on a stage before. Can't see a bally thing with these bright lights.
Can I ask your name, sir?
Carruthers. Sidney Carruthers.
Delighted, Mr. Carruthers. And I am Mr. Rees.
How do you do?
I do admirably well, thank you, sir. Admirably well. Now, if you will be so good as to wind my music box, I shall shuffle these cards. Yes, the little handle underneath, that's it. And if you open the lid... Now, before I ask you to pick a card, please look into my eyes. Look deep. See if you can establish which card you will choose. Now, take a card. Any card. Good. Look at it. Memorize it. And show it to the audience. Then thrust it back into the heart of the pack.
Like this?
Like that.
Now what?
Now I throw the cards into the air.
Oh, I say!
And one card, one single solitary card, flutters down to land. On the music box, if you would be so kind, Mr. Carruthers.
Good Lord. The Knave of Hearts. But that's...
That's your card, the one you chose, I know. Hold it up for everyone to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the Knave of Hearts. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Curtain, Eddie. Drop the curtain. He's certainly packing them in, that Mr. Rees. Quite an act, eh? Superlative stagecraft and peerless prestidigitation. Right then, I must mingle with the punters while they wet their whistles. They always appreciate that. Might just have time for a little light libationary liquor myself.
Dash if I know how he did it, and I was standing right beside him. I need another drink. Anyone else? No? Just me then. Excuse me. Coming through.
Mr. Carruthers.
What? Oh, it's you, Jago. Dash, fine show, eh? Topping stuff.
And the new star is born.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Nonsense, Mr. C. You're a natural, I can tell. Gerald, service here, if you would. Thank you.
Certainly, sir. What'll you have?
Oh, I'll put it on my tab, Gerald. There's a good fellow.
Oh, nonsense, Jago. Allow me. A glass of porter, if you would, and something for Mr. Jago.
Oh, thank you, most kind. Got to keep a clear head while I'm working, of course, so, Gerald, just a small sherry, perhaps. Not that small, Gerald.
Sorry, Mr. Jago. Well, that mustn't keep you, Jago. Sure, you've got lots to do.
Oh, indeed. Place doesn't run itself, you know. Lady Partington, delighted to see you again. How is his lordship these days?
Well, I'll just attend to the call of nature. Keep an eye on the porter, will you, Cyril? But Gerald, I wonder, do you think I might borrow a knife for a few minutes? That one you used to cut the lemons will do admirably. Only I've got a bit of leather come loose in the sole of my shoe, but it's digging in something awful.
Here you go, sir. Be careful. It's pretty sharp.
That's very obliging. I'll just nip to the, you know, and deal with it. Back in two ticks.
About 10 minutes till curtain up again, sir.
Well, thank you.
Just need a breath of fresh air.
Not a lot of that out here, sir. Gonna be a real peace super again.
Oh, I better not go too far then. Not a soul in sight. This will do admirably well, my friend. I say, miss, a quick word, if I may.
You may indeed, sir. You look like a respectable gentleman.
By which you mean I have money?
I'm hoping so.
I do have something for you.
Silver, by any chance?
More likely steel, I'd say. Gerald? Thank you for that. I'm obliged.
I trust that did the trick, sir?
Oh, yes. It did the trick admirably well. Now then, where's my porter? Better drink up quick before the next act. What a refreshingly entertaining evening.
Still here, Professor Lightfoot?
Ah, Sergeant Quick. Yes. Does seem to have been rather a long evening. But nearly done now.
You found anything unusual?
Just an ordinary drowning. Assuming drowning is ever ordinary. Just another sad accident, I'm afraid.
Nothing accidental about it. Huh? Constable Mallinson told me what happened. He was actually there. He saw it. Nora Beamish, her name is. Or was. According to Mallinson, she was walking across All Hallows Bridge.
Afternoon, miss.
Constable?
She didn't seem to have a care in the world. Even singing a bit, so he said. Then suddenly she just runs to the side of the bridge and climbs up on the parapet.
Miss, you all right, miss? I should come down from there.
So the poor woman was determined to end her own life.
So you'd think from her actions, but not from her words.
Help me! Please, help me!
Careful, miss. Close to the edge. Just move this way. Here, let me...
I can't. You won't. Help me, please. I've been murdered.
No, miss!
Murder!
Horrible murder! Help!
Hey, what is it? You all right? Go, my cribs.
She's dead. Murdered.
Step through the art. I'll stay here. You get to the new Regency Theatre. It's just round the corner. You'll get help there. Or maybe find a peeler.
Poor Mallinson was quite shaken by the incident.
Sounds as if the poor woman was in a parlous state herself.
Well, that's the queer thing, Professor. I spoke to her family myself.
That can't have been easier.
Well, it never is. But they didn't have any idea why she might have taken such desperate action.
She was not depressed or upset.
Far from it. Seems she'd been in excellent health and a good mood recently. Even went to the theatre the night before the incident.
Well, there's not much to learn from the body. It sounds as if answers lie in her personal affairs.
I'll leave it to you then, Professor.
Poor soul. I wonder what could provoke such extreme behaviour. Perhaps we shall never know.
Don't pack away too fast, Professor. We've got another one.
Good grief. Well, wheel him in. I may as well make a start as I'm here anyway. Accident, is it?
Murder, Professor. Another lady, though one of less salubrious extraction from the look of her. All right, lad, bring her in.
Up on here, if you would, constables. Thank you.
Stab through the art, I'd say. Oh, I'm sure you'll tell me for certain.
You are absolutely right. The incision is angled slightly down. So her attacker was most likely taller than she was.
A gentleman, then?
Hardly a gentleman. But probably male, yes, from the force of the thrust.
It's a small wound.
Unusually so for a blade. Like a paring knife for cutting fruit or some such.
Hardly a murder weapon of choice, then.
Well, more likely of opportunity. Was she found near a market, perhaps?
No, near a theatre, actually. In fact, there have been a few strange deaths recently, not least Nora Beamish here. All in the same vicinity. though most of them taken to different mortuaries, on account of you being so busy, Professor.
And you said Nora Beamish had been to the theatre. I suspect I shall regret asking, but which theatre is it that lies at the centre of these tragic events?
The New Regency.
Yes, of course. Henry's theatre.
Coincidence, you reckon?
Let us hope so, Sergeant.
You're surely not suggesting that the New Regency impinges on these despicable and dastardly acts? Mind you, it has hosted some particularly despicable acts in its time.
Not at all, Henry. But given your theatre is right in the thick of it, I thought perhaps you might have heard some gossip or rumours that could be pertinent to the case.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, as you know, Professor, I'm always alert to the extraordinary. People do indeed confide in Henry Gordon Jago. I think it's because I have an innate ability to put them at their ease, to engender a sort of confidence that makes them feel they can be open and honest and forthcoming.
So, have you heard anything?
Not a word.
Pity.
Indeed. Been more concerned with thinking of good ways to invest the money we're making from full houses, to be honest. Tell me, Professor, you ever heard of a phonograph?
Phonograph? Why, yes, indeed. Ah, here comes Eddie with our drinks.
I hope the punters don't get wind of unsavory goings-on near the theatre. It'll be the end of the full houses and any future investment.
Here you go, gents.
Thank you, my dear.
Most welcome. Yes, if audiences drop off, that'll be a nightmare.
What do you mean, a nightmare?
Oh, just that I'm paying so much to retain the redoubtable Reese for another month that I need to keep the house filled.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Matter of opinion.
I thought you might have had one of those weird dreams.
Weird dreams?
Nightmares.
Not sure we're with you, actually, Ellie. If you care to elaborate.
Oh, it's nothing. But old Albert was saying he's had these terrible dreams. Eddie the Taff as well. Some of the others, too.
And it's probably the gin you serve. Not just mothers it ruins, you know.
I'm not sure it makes you a murderer, though.
Did you say murderer?
Oh, not really. But these nightmares, what Albert and the others have had, they're all about killing someone. Right nasty from what Taff was saying and all.
Jago? Is that you, Jago?
Mr. Carruthers?
Oh, thank heavens for that. They said at the theatre you might be here.
You're right. You look a bit peaky.
I think you better sit down, sir.
I do feel a bit wobbly, I confess. Ever since last night at your Ballet Theatre.
What are you blithering on about, Carruthers?
Dreams. Nightmares. That's what...
Nightmares?
I say, steady on, old man. That's my pint.
And Lord knows I need it. It was so vivid. So real.
What was?
The nightmare. Don't you understand, Jacob? I dreamed I killed someone.
I'll get you another drink, Mr. J, and I'll see if the back room is free.
Thank you, Ellie. I think we might need it.
Of course, I know it was just a dream, but it seemed so real. I left the theatre at the interval. I don't know why. No reason, really. Well, there isn't in dreams, is there? I was standing in the shadows at the side of the street, waiting for someone. No one in particular, just anyone. Then this woman appeared out of the fog, and I called her over. I say, miss, a quick word, if I may. Rum sort she was. Not the type of person I usually consort with.
You may indeed, sir. You look like a respectable gentleman.
I didn't take to her attitude at all. By which you mean I have money?
I'm hoping so.
I do have something for you.
Silver, by any chance?
I had a knife in my pocket, ready for exactly this moment. Oh, more likely steel, I'd say. And I stabbed her. Right through the heart. Not that I know really where the heart is. I mean in the chest, obviously, but somehow I knew it. It was like a voice inside my head telling me exactly what to do. No, it's more than that. It was ordering me to do it. I didn't have any choice.
My dear fella, just a dream, you know.
Oh, I know, but I thought I was just unsettled after that Reese chap worked his fluence on the cards, but then the dream and the music.
The music?
A tune inside my head, rattling round in there like a marble in a tin can.
Really? How's it go?
Not terribly musical myself, but if you forgive the rendition, it goes a bit like this.
Where did you get the knife? In your dream, I mean, of course.
The knife? Well, as I said, it was in my pocket.
Oh, quite so. But if I may ask, how did it get into your pocket?
I'm not sure. No. No, wait a moment. I borrowed it from that barman of yours, Jago. What's his name?
Gerald?
Just so. Yes, it was the knife he uses to cut fruit and such like.
Is there any point to this, Professor? I don't mean the knife. I mean the cross-examination of the witness.
Oh, not at all, Henry. I do beg your pardon, Mr. Carruthers, but it sounds as if you've just had an especially vivid dream.
You think so?
I really wouldn't worry any more about it.
The professor is a monolith of the medical fraternity, Carruthers. If he says it's just a dream, you can be sure he's right.
Well, that's very reassuring. I'm lucky that you were here, Professor Lightfoot.
Not at all. Glad to help.
I came looking for Henry because I thought that chap Reese might have put a fluence on me, and I recalled Henry telling me that he once consulted the great Sigmund Freud.
Yes, well, between you and me, that wasn't altogether the success it might have been.
Nevertheless, I am glad we've put your mind to rest. Oh,
I am relieved and obliged. Thank you, gentlemen. What do I owe you for the drink?
Ah,
nothing at all. Our pleasure.
But then, thank you again, and good day.
You off then, sir?
Thank you, yes.
All sorted then?
Indeed so. Actually, if I give you this, could you furnish Mr. Jago and the Professor with another drink?
They'd be very appreciative.
Thank you so much, and good day to you.
Well, thank goodness that's sorted out. No harm done here. Well, except that the fella could have paid his way.
I'm not so sure, Henry.
Huh? How so?
The murder he described. The knife.
Just a dream, as you said.
More drinks, gents. Courtesy of your friend.
Oh, I say. Dashed decent of Carruthers. He's a generous sort. I always said so. In fact, he bought me a drink last night at the theatre bar.
Kind of he?
The theatre bar where he got the knife, you mean?
No, that was just a dream.
Was it?
Wasn't it?
Let's hope so.
Or is it, Professor?
I was at the mortuary last night when they brought in the body of a woman found near your theatre, Henry.
You mentioned it earlier. Coincidence.
She had been killed by a single stab wound to the heart.
That could be coincidence and all.
The knife used was small, just like the knife that killed the woman. The woman who, I would say, matched his description of the victim in his dream.
Corks.
You mean he actually dreamed about a real murder?
I think the professor's suggesting a little more than that.
I'm afraid I am. You see, Ellie, I wonder if these strange dreams are dreams at all.
You don't mean it.
He does mean...
Carruthers said he was on stage last night.
Well, only briefly. It's not as if he was mesmerised or anything.
Mesmerised?
Well, Reese does that sort of thing.
Mr. Reese? Alfred mentioned his act. So did the Teff, now I think about it. And they was humming that same tune your friend was, too.
Tell us about this Mr. Reese and his act, Henry.
Well, it's fairly standard conjuring, mostly. He does do some mesmeric messing about and the sort. The public love it. Well, to be honest, I find it a bit cruel.
Cruel?
How so, Henry?
Well, making people do things they didn't ought to be doing. He made this one lady eat a raw onion last night. Sometimes it's much more than that. I did speak to him about toning it down a tad.
And what did he say?
Well, refused to hear of it. Said that he was packing in the punters, and I should be grateful for that. Which, of course, I am. But, I don't know, I got the impression that he enjoys humiliating others.
Some people do, Mr. J. We'll see enough of that in here.
But in public, on stage.
It does all sound rather rum.
So what do you suggest?
I suggest that you provide me with the ticket to this evening's performance. And we'll compare notes on this Mr. Reese of yours once I've seen what he gets up to.
No.
No?
No. Two tickets. There's a free night at the theatre on offer, then I ain't being left out. Lizzie Talbot can mind the bar for me tonight.
Then I shall be delighted to chaperone such a charming and refined companion.
Oh, thank you, Professor. And we'll let Ellie come along too. Now then, bottoms up.
Do you really think this magician has something to do with the dreams and murders?
Well, we can't know for sure, of course. But it would be a coincidence if he doesn't.
Mr. Jay's certainly leery of him.
And I have it on good authority that the police are frankly stumped.
Oh, talking to the peelers, isn't that Sergeant Quick?
So it is. Your eyesight's a good deal sharper than mine, I must say.
Remember to keep your whistle handy. And if you spot anything, give three sharp blasts. Right, off you go. And no sneaky snoozing on the job, neither. Yes, Simpson, I'm looking at you.
You hoping to catch our murderer red-handed, Sergeant?
Oh, hello, Professor, Miss Eagson. To tell the truth, I don't know what I'm expecting. But there's some devilry afoot in the snow, Carl. So where are you off to in all your finery?
We're going to the theatre.
Oh, that's nice.
Keeping tabs on a suspect.
Oh, yeah. Anything you'd care to share with those whose job it is to keep tabs on suspects?
Not just yet, Sergeant. But as soon as we learn anything of use, we'll let you know.
Between you and me, we could do with all the help we can get. Here, take this, just in case.
Is that a police whistle?
It is. No, don't blow it now. You'll bring the lads running. Except Simpson, he's probably investigating the nearest hostelry.
Thank you, Sergeant. We won't use it unless we have to. Now, I think we should be taking our seats. Curtain's up in about 10 minutes.
Mr. Jago's got us a box.
Really? Box of what?
A theatre box. For sitting in.
Oh, very grand. Well, you two have a good evening then, and enjoy the show.
Thank you. We shall.
And I'll just stay out here in the fog and freeze me truncheon off.
And now, when I click my fingers, Mr. Evans, you will no longer be a chicken. And you, Miss Baxter, will no longer be a pig. Mr. Evans, listen to the music. Let it permeate your consciousness and turn you now into a sheep. While you, Miss Baxter, let the music flow through you and become a dog. A sheepdog called Stanley. Well, don't just roll about there, Stanley. I need the sheep rounding up and herding to the side of the stage. And very naughty and uncooperative sheep they are, too.
What a bizarre
thing. It's horrible. Those poor people, who you make fun of like that?
Mm. I'll not pretend it's to my taste at all. Most of the audience seem to find it amusing.
It ain't at least a bit funny. It's cruel, just like Mr. Jago said. To stop it, he ought.
I suspect he needs what he refers to as the bottoms on seats, if you'll forgive the vulgarity.
Mm, not as vulgar as what's happening on stage, Professor.
If the sheep won't cooperate, Stanley, then bite them.
Oh, it's awful. She bit him.
Ellie, you're not thinking of...
Stopping it? No, but someone should. I can't stand this no longer. I'm going to get some air.
I don't blame you. Must be the interval soon. I'll join you outside then. But I'd better watch to the end just in case there are any clues.
That music box tune gives me the creeps and all. See you later.
The music box. Yes. There is something about that tune. I'm sure I know it.
And stop there. Freeze. Stay exactly as you are. Let the music once more flow through you.
You all right there, Ellie? I saw you leave the box from my vantage point in the wings.
I just need a breath of air, Mr. J.
Yeah, you'll be lucky in this fog.
You were right about that man's act.
Unsettling, ain't it?
Oh, it's like you said. It's cruel.
Mm. I'd let him go if I could afford to. But if he went to another theatre in the area, my numbers would drop like the proverbial pebble in the metaphorical mill pond.
Tell the professor I'll be back for the second half.
Right, you are. Between you and me, the second half is a good deal more pedestrian. Nothing more unpleasant than Fanny Go-Rightly's rendition of Whoops, Here We Go Again.
I'm pleased to hear it.
You won't be.
Can't be that bad. See you soon, Mr. Jay.
Ah, the interval. Time for my performance. Chin up, Henry, and smile at everyone.
It ain't natural. It really ain't. Oh, don't be so wet up over it, Eddie Eakson. Hello? Somewhere there? Is that you, Professor? Oh, I can't see nothing in this fog. Oh! What the? Get off me!
Yes, this one will do admirably.
Get off!
It's always so much more gratifying when they have spirit.
Oh, show you spirit!
Yeah! Oh, don't worry, Professor. I assured her that the second half will be more delectable to her delicate delights.
Mine too, I hope. That Reese fella really is rather a cad, don't you think?
Sounds like the sagacious Sergeant Quick is making an arrest.
Yes, indeed. Unless... Ellie!
You think you can call for assistance? It's too late for you, my dear. No one's coming to help.
Is that a fact, sir?
You all right? Miss Eakson, blimey. Let me help you up.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant.
Looks like I was just in time.
Great heavens. Elliot.
Are you... Did he... Oh, blimey.
Oh, fine. Oh, I think you better catch your breath, Mr. Jay.
I think I had.
Is this the attacker?
A swift bash on a bolt's dealt with him. We'll have him in a cell before he wakes up. Oh, there you are. What kept you?
Sorry, Sarge.
An eminent pathologist and a local impresario got here faster than you lot.
Also eminent, if you don't mind.
Now get this blackguard off to the cells. We'll have a few choice words with him in the morning.
Are you sure you're all right, Miss Hinkson?
I'm fine. I got fussy.
Well, it's thanks to you we caught the murderer. Perhaps you could pop it in the station tomorrow morning, miss. We'll need a formal identification.
Just make sure you keep him locked up.
No worries on that score. Well, good night to you all.
Well, it seems we were wrong, Professor. It wasn't Reese after all.
Who was it? Did you see?
It all happened so fast, and with the fog and all, I could hardly see him.
Just so long as you're safe.
You'll probably need a little sit down.
I certainly do. Fortunately, the second half of the show is about to start. I'll join you in the box, if I may. Though I might slip out when Fanny starts her wailing.
Tell her if she's back again, that drunk, then we'll be locking her up for good. Oh, morning, Miss Eakson. Good of you to come.
Let's just get this sorted. You just want me to say it was him what attacked me?
Well, things have changed a bit, actually. Don't know quite what to make of it, to be honest.
What? What's happened?
Well, come with me along here to the cells and I'll show you. This is the one.
You're not going to open it.
Oh, don't worry, miss. There's no danger, as you'll see.
Oh, hello. Can I go home yet?
It's not the same geezer.
I can assure you it is.
I'm sorry, miss. Do I know you?
Is he having a laugh?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he is.
I'm afraid I don't follow.
You don't remember me? From last night?
Well, I've told the sergeant here, last night it's a bit of a blur. Did we meet at the theatre? I remember going up on stage, which was rather nerve-wracking. I'm not accustomed to anything of that sort, you see.
On stage? Of course! It was you that Reese mesmerised.
Yes, I remember that, but what happened then or afterwards, it's all a blank.
He's like a different person.
Please, I just want to go home. This is worse than a nightmare.
All in good time, sir.
Nightmare? Have you been having nightmares?
Oh, it's the least of my worries, I suppose. I dreamed I was being chased by a dog. It bit my ear. Funny thing is, my ear's really sore this morning.
Looks like bite marks, if you ask me, but not from a dog.
Yeah. And then there was a woman in the fog. There was a tune playing. A voice in my head kept telling me to strangle her. And I...
Oh, it's all right. Try not to think about it.
Oh, my word. It was you, wasn't it? The woman in the dream.
You just calm down, Mr. Evans. Everything's going to be fine. You'll see. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I've heard some pretty plausible denials in my time, but this one takes a biscuit.
He was on stage. I didn't recognise him last night in the fog, but that magician, Reese, got him up on stage and mesmerised him.
I'm not sure I know what that means.
It means that Reese is behind the attacks.
But how?
Oh, I don't know, but we've got to warn Mr. Jago before tonight's performance.
I'm glad the fog's lifted. Didn't really need my coat. Is there somewhere I can...
Hook on the back of the door. Oh, just move those papers and you can sit there.
Ah, thank you.
I keep meaning to tidy the place up a bit. When you're running a business...
Or even a theatre.
What do you mean?
Nothing. It was just a joke.
Oh, very funny. I got a chap coming in to demonstrate one of these new phonograph recording machines this morning. Price of those things isn't funny. Have you seen them?
Oh, indeed. Fascinating things. But don't worry, Henry. I shan't intrude. Just wondered if you'd had any more thoughts about, you know...
Know what?
Last night?
Well, the take-ins were up again.
Not quite what I meant.
No, I know what you meant, Professor. And I have to confess to a degree of befuddlement.
How so?
Well, Sergeant Quick and his merry men apprehended the miscreant, but that still doesn't explain poor Carruthers and his nefarious nightmare.
My thoughts exactly. So I suggest we continue to keep an eye on the mesmeric Mr. Reese.
Oh, couldn't agree more. He brings in the punters, but there's something decidedly dubious about the fellow. I feel more comfortable knowing he's taken a day off and retired for the duration to his domicile in Hampstead.
Well, as I say, I won't keep you. I think I'll make the most of the sunshine while it lasts and leave you to your phonographs. What do you intend to do with such a device, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, yes. Now, it occurred to me that making phonographic recordings of the more impressive of the theatre acts would be a good way of preserving them for posterity.
Excellent notion.
Yeah, and what's more, as these machines become more popular, there might be a market for selling copies of the best acts. Obviously, those more suited to an auditory experience. Dramatic recitations, or even full-cast drama, all delivered through the medium of sound.
Worth exploring, I'm sure. I'll see you later.
I look forward to it, Professor.
Good morning.
Morning, Chief. You, Mr. Jago?
Alas, no. You must be the phonograph, gentlemen. Mr. Jago said he was expecting you. You'll find him in his office, just through there, to the right.
Thanks, Chief.
I say... Do you want a hand with that case?
No, I'm fine, thanks. Well practiced in the art of lugging it around, I am, but thanks for the thought.
Not at all. Well, good day to you, sir.
And you, Chief. Through here, and to the right.
Please, allow me.
Oh, thank you, Chief. Sorry, I didn't see you standing there. If you can just... there, that's it.
Perhaps, in return, you could do something for me.
Well, of course, if I can.
Oh, you can, believe me. You'll manage it admirably. Do you know what this is?
Looks like one of them musical boxes. My missus has one on the mantel. Plays Rule Britannia. Oh, it did. It hasn't worked for years.
That's very good. Very good indeed. Now, look into my eyes. Imagine falling into them, and imagine me falling into your eyes, into your mind.
Into my mind.
You will also need this. Put it in your coat pocket for now. Do you know how to use it?
Lawks, no. I ain't never fired a gun before.
Never mind. Fortunately, I am an excellent shot.
Mr. Jago?
Ah, yes. You must be... Here, let me help you with that. Put it up on the desk. You can hang your coat on the back of the door. Oh, that's Professor Lightfoot's coat. He must have forgotten it.
I just need something from my pocket.
Key to the case, is it?
No. No, nothing like that.
Oh, it's a gun. What do you need that for? I say, careful. Anything might go off.
That is rather the point. You see, I heard you talking.
Talking? Well, that's hardly out of the ordinary. I do a lot of talking. Too much sometimes.
This was most definitely one of those times. Goodbye, Mr. Jago.
But we only just met.
Only just met who? Oh, it's you. You found him then. Oh, say.
Help me, George.
Not sure what I can do, Henry.
Keep still, both of you.
So that you can shoot us?
Yes. No. I don't. I ain't never fired a gun before.
Well, there's no need to start now.
Indeed not. Why not just put it down on the desk there, beside your case?
No, I have to. I can't. But kill a man?
No, you don't want to do that.
That's it. Turn the gun away from Mr. Jago.
No, help me. I can't stop it.
He's pointing the gun at himself.
Put it down, man.
I can't stop him. He's in my mind. He's making me.
He's going to shoot himself.
Help me. Please, help me.
Oh, perfect punch, Professor. I was just about to polex him myself, actually.
I don't doubt it, Henry.
What on earth possessed the fella?
I think possessed is a very accurate diagnosis. He'll be all right.
How cold is he? Banged his head on the edge of that case of his when he fell. Put a bullet right through my wainscoting. Look at that.
You're lucky it wasn't your waistcoat.
Yes, thank you, Professor.
Let's get him up into that chair. Oh, hopefully, when he comes round, he'll be back to normal.
Yeah. Well, unless that was normal.
Oh, no. Your Mr. Reese is behind this, and no mistake. I saw him leaving as I came back for my coat.
Lucky you did. So what do we do now? Just wait for this chap to wake up again and hope he's feeling less homicidal?
I suppose so. But while we wait, might we not conduct a little investigation?
What had you in mind?
Well, if the nefarious Reese has vacated the premises, his dressing room will be unoccupied.
You think we might find some clues?
I think it's worth a look.
Ha-ha! You're right, Professor. Oh, he'll soon be rueing the day that he crossed swords with Henry Gordon Jago.
Or rather, revolvers. I think I'll put this one safely out of the way somewhere.
Coat pocket.
Good thought. Right. Which way to the rogue's dressing room?
I'll show you.
There's certainly no sign of him now.
Scarpin, like you said.
I confess that I have little idea what most of these things are. And even less notion of what we might be looking for.
Trick cards. Box with a false back. Mirror with a... Oh, so that's how he does it. Dash clever, I must say.
And in here... Ah. Now we might be getting somewhere.
What have you found, Professor?
That music box of his.
You think we should examine it?
I do. Let's get back to your office, Henry, and bring that music box with you. That phonograph chappy seems to have gone. I hope he's all right.
He's left a note, look. Says he'll call back for his machine tomorrow, but isn't sure he's up to lugging it back across London.
I should think not, indeed. He had rather a nasty bump on the head.
He apologises for the inconvenience. I suppose blowing me brains out might have been a tad inconvenient.
Yes, well, the question is, why did he do it? Perhaps this music box will furnish us with some answers. What are you doing, Henry? I'm trying to concentrate.
Sorry, Professor, but there's a little pamphlet here. I was just trying to... that cylinder thing is spinning. I think I've got it working.
Yes, well, see if you can't do it more quietly.
You discovered anything useful about that blessed box?
I confess, Henry, I can find nothing untoward or remarkable about this music box whatsoever. Perhaps the mysterious Mr. Reese has some other way of exerting his mesmeric influence.
Well, it was worth a look. Perhaps the tune is the key to it all.
Good thought, Henry. Let me just wind it up. I've an idea how we can test this device of yours.
I'm sure I know that tune. Can't quite place it, though.
They must be here somewhere. That man shifting the scenery said he'd seen Mr. Jago and the Professor.
Then where are they?
Mr. Jago's office is just down there.
No one here either.
So where's he gone?
This is interesting.
What is he?
One of them new phonograph machines. They got one at Scotland Yard. You put this cylinder on here and...
No, Henry. This is no time for refreshment.
Oh, it's the Professor.
I meant
Mr. Jago.
Oh, they've never gone after him.
But who said that Reese lives in Hampstead? Ah. Oh, if you're suggesting we call her the tiger in its den, then I should point out that I do have rather a lot of paperwork.
Nonsense,
Henry. Paperwork can wait. And in any event, tigers don't live in dens.
Hopefully they'll tell us the address in a minute.
Sure. Yes, I've got the address here somehow, on the letter extending this contract. Oh, wait, hang on. I should turn this phonograph thing on first.
What happened?
That's the end.
What? Where have they gone? We can't search the whole of Hampstead for them.
Oh, they'll probably be all right.
This is the Professor and Mr. Jago we're talking about.
Good point. We'd better find that contract with the address on it, and fast.
Imposing place, isn't it? In its own grounds and everything.
Perhaps you're paying this Mr. Reese too much, Henry.
I'm sure I am. But he did tell me he lives in his old family home.
No sign of life.
Well, what if he's not at home?
Then we'll see if we can't get over this curtain wall. Plenty of hand and foot holds, I should say.
What if he is at home?
Then we proceed as we discussed. After you, Henry.
No, after you, Professor.
No, Henry. I insist.
Thank you, Professor. Most kind.
Good day, gentlemen. What a pleasant surprise.
Mr. Reese, you are at home. Excellent.
Mr. Jago, and I don't know your associate.
Professor George Lightfoot.
The Professor is an old friend.
How charming. And is this a purely social call?
What? Oh, no. Oh, dear me. No. You see, I was passing your dressing room at the theatre, and I saw you left this behind.
My music box?
Yeah. I remembered you said you'd be at home today, and I thought you might be missing it.
It's just a music box.
Even so.
It is quite important to your act.
Merely a prop. Though the tune it plays has some sentimental associations. It's good of you to come all this way out of... what? Concern?
Oh, absolutely. We were concerned.
There was really no need. But since you are here, you had better come in.
If you're sure we're not imposing.
It will be my pleasure. Come on through to the conservatory. There is an excellent view of the gardens from there. Please, take a seat. From here, you can see right across the grounds.
Bit overgrown, aren't they?
Alas, gardening is not my forte.
I gather from Mr. Jago that you've lived here for a while.
All my life. Yes, this was the family home. Though, of course, I have no family. Thank you for bringing this.
You said it had sentimental value.
The tune, and indeed the box itself, they remind me of my father.
It doesn't actually help you in your act, then?
Only because of the memories it engenders. It does not exert any mesmeric effect on my victims, if that's what you mean.
Victims?
That's rather a harsh description of the people who help you with your tricks.
Oh, there's no trick to it, Professor Lightfoot. In fact, it is all very scientific. I would have thought you, in particular, would appreciate that.
Scientific?
When I was a child, I started experimenting with small animals. Mice, cats, even dogs. Now, my experiments are with humans.
You're not serious.
I assure you, I am. It has taken me years to perfect my art.
And what exactly is your art?
The ability to get inside another's mind. And once inside, I can look around and know what they know. Or I can take over and control them. I can make it seem like a dream to them. Or they might be completely aware of what they are doing, but unable to stop themselves.
Good heavens.
Sounds as though you enjoy it.
Of course. Why else would I do it?
But that's grotesque.
Have you never wished you could persuade someone to do what you want? Can't you imagine the thrill of forcing them to kill themselves or to murder other innocents?
You made Carruthers commit murder?
There have been so many. I have to be close to them to exert my influence, but that's fine. I like to watch.
Despicable. And it has to stop. Well done, Professor. You keep him covered. I'll go for help.
Oh, dear. Is that the revolver I gave to the man who failed to kill Mr. Jago? I was there, of course, in his mind, so I know it is. Sadly, I was already too far away to take more decisive action.
But why kill Mr. Jago? Was that for pleasure, too?
Oh, who needs a reason? I would have enjoyed it, of course, but no, I overheard the two of you talking. I thought you were close to realizing my powers. It seems I overestimated you.
Yet I am the one with the gun.
Yes.
Make one move, and the professor will shoot you.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Oh, Mr. Jago, always so naive. If you were paying attention, you would see that the professor is not pointing the gun at me.
What?
He is pointing it at you.
Oh, corks.
Henry, I'm sorry. I can't stop it. He's inside my mind.
And after Lightfoot has shot you, he will shoot himself. Murder and then suicide. Tragic. Take a look at the grounds, Mr. Jago. The way nature, unlike the human mind, is so uncontrollable, so willful, so alive. Take one last look through the glass before you die.
Die? Not blooming likely!
Well done, Henry!
Oh, be quiet. My walls are stronger than that window. There is no way out of the grounds. We shall hunt him down, Professor Lightfoot, you and I. And when we find him, Henry Jago will die.
Courage, Henry! Courage!
You can't hide forever, Mr. Jago. And I really don't wish to spend all day out here.
I'm game, though. If I can get to the wall...
Come on, keep up. Anyone would think you didn't want to find your friend.
Oh, corks.
There you are. It's all right, Mr. Jago. You can come out now. I can see you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. And how appropriate that you should hide here by the well. Some of my fondest childhood memories center on this well, you know. Yes, please, Professor. Drag him out of that thicket.
Sorry, Henry.
Not as sorry as I am.
Bring him here, to the edge. I'm afraid the wall has rather deteriorated. Be careful not to fall. He's very deep. Very deep indeed.
You bounder. You just get on with it. I'm not afraid to die.
Yes, you are. You know, this is where I perfected my art. As I told you, I started with animals, mice and rats. Then I tried cats. I got inside their minds, and I made them jump.
You fiend!
Hence the tune, of course. Ding dong bell, pussy's in the well. Who put her in? Well, I did. Cats, dogs, they're all still down there. Dead, of course. Nothing can survive such a fall, and the bottom of the well is full of jagged stones and rocks. I made sure of that.
You blackguard!
So there they lie, rotting away along with... Well, never mind that. Their bodies will soon be joined by two more.
Professor, don't do this! You can break free of his mesmeric mental machinations. I know you can.
I don't think so. Professor, if you would push Mr. Jago down the well, and then be so good as to jump after him.
Oh, I can't. Henry, I'm sorry.
No, no. Keep away from me. Keep back, Professor.
A fall may not kill you, but you're sure to break a leg or two. And there is no way out again.
Sorry, Henry. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry too, George. But take that!
Henry, you punched me. Oh, that hurt.
You're back to normal.
What? Oh, yes. The pain seemed
to... Finish him, Lightfoot. Throw him down the well. I am inside your mind. I can make you do it.
missed me.
No, I hit the wall on purpose. And again. Oh.
What are you doing? Stop that. Shoot him.
No. The gun can go.
Oh, well done, Professor.
I shall exert my will. If I concentrate, even pain cannot break the influence.
Oh, no. I say, steady on now, Professor.
Concentrate.
I must kill
Henry Jago.
Oh, no. Keep back. Oh, oh, I'm right on the edge.
And over you go. Oh.
Mr. Jago,
there? Can you hear us?
What? Who's that?
Oh, that's better.
Careful, George. Back from the edge.
No. You will both die.
Professor, look out.
He tried to push us over. Lucky you pulled me out of the way, Henry.
Not so lucky for him. Talk about taking the plunge. You all right now, Professor?
Oh, I think you both are.
You all right, Professor? You look a bit...
I confess I am a bit. But thanks to Henry, yes, I'm fine.
Oh, nonsense. The Professor is the real hero. The way you managed to fight the fluence.
Thank you, Henry. Though my hand is rather painful.
So where's this Reese fellow got to, then?
Yeah, we came to warn you about him.
I think we're a bit past that now.
He took a trip.
Oh, that's very good, Henry. A trip, yes, indeed. And he said himself, nothing could survive a fall into that well.
Though he left this behind.
Seems a shame to deprive him of it. Would you like to do the honours, Henry?
Why not? Here it goes.
So you think the fool killed him?
I should think so.
No way to get him out, even if we wanted to.
Even if he survived, that well is certainly deep enough that his mind can't influence anyone else.
You sure about that, Professor?
Oh, yes. Otherwise, I'd still be under his influence.
You sure you're not?
Henry Gordon Jago, you will give me the phonograph recording you made while I examine the music box.
You're right.
Professor?
Oh, he's just larking about, isn't he?
Indeed. Just my little joke. Yeah. Though I would be grateful for the phonograph cylinder, Henry.
What do you want it for? The music box turned out to be nothing to do with it.
Just for my collection.
Collection of what?
I tried to keep a memento of each of our various adventures.
Whatever for?
Just being sentimental, I suppose. But you never know. They might be useful. No doubt they'll go to a good cause eventually.
Well, I hope you've got plenty of room to store them, Professor.
And why is that?
Because I suspect we're in for a good number of adventures yet over the coming years.
I'll drink to that. Two adventures. The more, the merrier.
Two adventures. The more, the merrier.